You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to another episode of Game Notes, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Dave DeFore, and I'm stuffy. This is Tony Jones, and he's tired. Tony, what's up, buddy?
I'm energetic.
Well, you're energetic as a personality, but tired today. Like, I don't know, man. Mid-May is kicking our butt.
So this would be the time in our lives where, like, the personal part of our lives are making us exhausted, but
yeah, it's not work related. It's not work related. Well, Tony, let's jump in, man.
We're happy to be here. We're happy to be here.
Exactly. Lucky to be here even. All right, let's jump in, man, because the Jazz have been home for a few weeks at this point. And feels like some of the dust has settled a little bit, but still a lot of questions in the air. So go ahead. What's your question? So
here's the first question. Does the Mavericks' performance now give you a better feeling about where the Jazz were in hindsight? Because the Mavs have turned out to be a pretty dang good.
Yeah, but I actually thought the Mavericks were better than the Jazz anyway. So not really. Yeah.
You did.
I was saying I was like, I don't know, man. Sometime in March was saying that I thought the Mavericks had a chance to make the finals. And I just believed in them more. They're tougher. This is why actually what we saw in the Phoenix series was a continuation of what we saw in the Utah series. They were just tougher. Every single possession, every single game. So no, not really. But I think that if you're Utah, you probably say, okay, well, Dallas is really good and maybe better than we all thought because of the way they did handle Phoenix. So I mean, maybe there's some solace there, but for me, it doesn't change my opinion of the Jazz. I think that the Jazz's issues were pretty glaring coming into that series, and I wasn't surprised to see Dallas able to exploit them. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, this had been a question that it kind of, this had been a kind of discussion that it kind of filtered among Jazz Twitter. You know, I don't think I answered it or talked too much about it, but, you know, my answer is a solid no. I don't think Jazz fans should feel better at all by what the Mavericks are doing because Utah's issues, I mean, beyond the physical issues and the structural issues, you know, beyond that, you know, their issues, they didn't play hard enough and they didn't play together and they didn't play for each other. And, you know, I mean, I thought there was some resiliency. They showed some resiliency, but they didn't show enough. You know, those are all traits that, you know, the Jazz didn't show. And you know, beyond the lack of perimeter defense, lack of perimeter size, you know, all of the traits that I just said, those are things that you can control. And, you know, those are things that the Jazz can, that were within the Jazz's control that not only could have helped them in that series, but, you know, those are all things that they didn't, you know, basically display since basically the start of the new year. So, you know, 4 months of stuff like that. And, you know, who knows how many more games you would have won if you had been you know, just played super hard all year, played together, you know, played for one another. You know, they might have had an extra 6 or 7 wins, and, you know, maybe they wouldn't even have had to play Dallas in the first round, and they would have had a different matchup. So, so for me, the answer is no. I if I were a Jazz fan, I wouldn't feel better about the Jazz, about where the Jazz ended up, just because Dallas has proven to be a great team.
So what happens now, Tony? Like, we all assume there's a trade of some sort. What's the first domino?
I don't know what the first
domino is. I know, it's impossible. Because it's question.
You know, because the Jazz don't know what the first domino is. And I do think that structurally, I do think they are making some decisions, and, you know, so structurally, I think they are leaning towards, and this could change. Structurally, I think they're leaning towards keeping both Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and trying to retool the roster around them. You know, so what are we at? It's May 17th right now. We're recording this, you know, but we still have 4 weeks. When's the draft? In June 19th?
It's somewhere around there. I don't have my NBA calendar in front of me, but it's we've got like a little over a month until the end of the finals, and then it's a week from that is the draft. So,
right,
you're expecting this first domino to fall at or around the draft.
Right, I expect the first domino to fall at or around the draft. So we still, you know, basically have 4 weeks, you know, 3 weeks until teams start talking seriously and actually, you know, presenting stuff, but 4 weeks until, you know, I think things start popping. You know, but the Jazz, you know, I think we can characterize them, you know, as a trade team. That's the way that's the way that they're going to retool their roster. I mean, they're going to do, you know, there'll be some stuff free agency because they have the taxpayer mid-level. So that's $6 million. And $6 million, I think, it probably can get them a good role player. But, you know, beyond the taxpayer mid-level, you know, they could either do one, they could either give the $6 million to one guy or split the $6 million up, you know, which will probably give you two worse guys. But beyond that, you know, they have, you know, vet minimum. So, you know, their avenue to retooling the roster is probably going to be through making trades. And, you know, whether they make a trade that gets them into the draft, you know, that's the question, or whether they make a trade that, you know, brings a veteran. You know, that's the question. But, you know, let's say that they go the route of keeping Mitchell and Gobert, then to me, that puts enormous pressure on the front office to get every move that they make this summer 100% correct. Like, I don't think the front office has any room to whiff on a move, if that makes any sense.
No, I agree.
Just because, you know, so if they're gonna stay at the same level that they've been or you know, improve, the front office is gonna have to have the summer of its life, for lack of a better term. It's gonna have to score, the front office is gonna have to score 40 this summer.
Seems like the best teams in the league, right? The ones that have sustained success have followed that Spurs model: draft and develop, find second draft guys, find discarded, undrafted free agents, things of that nature. You feel like Utah can just do a better job of that generally?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, they know that they're going to have to do. It's one of the reasons why they're, you know, double-digit deep at the combine this week with no draft picks, you know, because they're trying to leave no stone unturned. And, you know, they are currently hitting the G League camp, and then they'll be obviously hitting the combine, and then they'll be, you know, they'll be securing whatever one-on-one in-face interviews that they can. And then they'll be, you know, hitting the pro days. So, you know, the front office is at the combine, basically working 14 hours a day, with as a team with no draft picks. And to me, that's pretty unique. But it says a lot about where the Jazz are, and you know, just how exhaustive a process that they're going to have to go through in order to try to make decisions and make decisions on the roster. You know, the one team that really comes to mind that does a really good job at this is the Miami Heat, right? Like, you know, Max Strus was undrafted out of DePaul, and you know, now he's, you know, 3 years later, he's in the starting lineup as a shooting guard. You know, they did the same thing with Duncan Robinson, and you know, not, I mean, of course they buried Duncan Robinson on the bench now, but you know, he was somebody that you know, made $90 million after his first contract. So, you know, it's the Jazz, you know, there are avenues to get stuff done, but you know, they've you know, it's they're going to have to, you know, leave no stone unturned at all.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, it seems as if the logical conclusion to make is, at the very least, this team is going to be built around Donovan Mitchell. You feel like that's a safe assumption to make?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely the safest assumption.
We'll start there. Let me ask you, Tony.
Yeah.
What does an ideal Donovan Mitchell-centric roster look like to you? Because now, to me, I actually think that they've got the two core pieces, right? I think having Rudy Gobert there with the way that Donovan defends, that's great. Now you got to fill around those guys. So, like, who would you, if you could just, and we're going pie in the sky here, Who would you go after if you were the Utah Jazz this summer? Like, whether it's trade or free agent, who would you try to get? I mean, let's be idealistic here. I mean, you know, Mikal Bridges, right? Like, I mean, aside from the obvious guys that aren't gettable. But who would you go after, Tony?
So to me, the structure that Mitchell needs, if you're building around Mitchell, is Mitchell at the point guard spot, then your three wings are all 6'6 to 6'8. And if you keep Rudy Gobert, let's say for sake of argument, Rudy Gobert's on the roster, then you know, Rudy's in the middle. You have to have a secondary, you have to have a secondary creator. You have to have somebody who can create off the bench. So I'm going to assume let's assume that Mike Conley's on the roster. Then for me, I think Mike Conley's coming off the bench for the first time in his career. You know, and then you can play him. You can still play him 20 to 25 minutes a night. You just play him off the bench. So then, you know, the Jazz have to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with the rest of the roster? And I would assume I would keep Bojan Bogdanović on the roster as well. I
mean, he's so good, man. Like, he's just was so solid for them. And
Bojan to me is an actual Bojan Bogdanović to me might be Utah's catch 22 because he's their second best player offensively, and he was absolutely terrific this year on both ends of the floor. He was the one guy in that playoff series other than Jordan Clarkson that really decided that he was going to buckle down and defend on the perimeter. Well, Jordan Clarkson didn't do that. Jordan Clarkson was Utah's best player in terms of getting buckets, but Bojan was Utah's best player defensively on the perimeter. And, you know, he was, for me, if it wasn't for Bojan, this would have been a 5-game series. So to me, Bojan has to be on the roster, but Bojan also might be the only non-Mitchell Rudy Gobert guy that has fight, because not only is he still good, but, you know, not only is he still really good as a basketball player, but he's got an expiring contract. So he might be the only guy outside of those two that can bring real value back to the roster. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But let's assume Bojan is on the roster. So, you know, Donovan, Bojan, and Rudy are, you know, 3/5 of the starting lineup. You know, what do you do with the other 2/5 of the starting lineup? So
that's the question.
Maybe,
right?
I think you call Washington and try to trade for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I mean, listen, KCP, you know, I've been on the KCP bandwagon for years. I thought that even in Detroit, he showed so many flashes of being like a solid fourth starter guy. And then what we saw with him in the Lakers, I mean, he would be excellent next to Donovan Mitchell. Now, that being said, he is not some sort of stopper, but he's a very, very good defender and a reliable 3-point shooter who will get shots up in the Jazz system. Now, Casey, that's a good one. You know, Kyle Kuzma is not to just stick with the Wizards, but Kyle Kuzma would be a really good fit for this team. You need a guy who can defend like that and who can stretch the floor, man.
Yeah, I think why would the Wizards trade him?
Thing, right? They're not going to trade. Well, we're going pie in the sky, Tony. Come on, we're dreaming here.
I can see. I can't go pie in the sky. I'm looking at the other team too. The other team has to say yes. So I can see the other team saying yes. We'll trade you Kentavious Caldwell-Pope if you put together a good enough package. So I can see the Wizards doing that. Like, if the Jazz called the Wizards and say, hey, we want to trade for Kyle Kuzma, they'll be like, why would we give you Kyle Kuzma? He's our best player. So I don't see the Wizards trading Kyle Kuzma. I don't think the Jazz would trade for Gordon Hayward at this point. So I don't know if that a trade there would work. What could the Jazz put together for Jeremy Grant?
Oof.
That might be the guy.
I mean, I don't think they have the youth that Detroit probably would value, if that makes sense. Like, you know, who's a young guy that they could include that would inspire Detroit to go for a package from Utah? Because they're likely to not have a very good draft pick. If they still got Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, those picks aren't worth that much, man. Because you know that with Rudy Gobert, you're going to have a top 5 defense and you're going to be somewhere probably in the top 6 in the West. And if they add Jeremy Grant, you know, I just don't know how they could possibly win a Jeremy Grant sweepstakes.
I don't know. If you trade a 2026 first round pick the Jazz in 2026 are not likely to have Donovan Mitchell on the roster.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And they might not be likely in conjunction with that. They might not be likely.
That's the gamble that you're hoping Detroit wants to make. And if you're Utah, right, you're almost pushing your chips into the table there, right, and saying we're finals or bust.
If you're Utah and you trade your 2022. If you trade your 2026 first round pick for Jeremy Grant, you're giving yourself a 2-year window to win a championship. And maybe a 1-year window, probably a 2-year window to win a championship. And you might be screwing your, like, we might wake up June 1st, 2026, and the Utah Jazz are in the fifth pick of the 2026 NBA draft, and that pick is going to the Detroit Pistons. And Jazz fans are really, really upset.
That's Tank City.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's Tank City with no hope. So I don't know if Jeremy Grant's realistic, right? Like, how do you get people to show up to an arena if your team doesn't have good players or coming draft picks, right? Like, you can't even sell hope at that point. So I just don't think you can sell those picks, Tony, or trade them.
Actually, I'm not thinking fourth dimensionally like Doc Brown told Marty.
There you go.
Hold on, because a team, I'm sorry, because let me keep going further. If the team doesn't have Donovan Mitchell on the roster in 2026, it's going to have a 2026 first round draft pick. Because that trade is going to get you
a draft. That's a good point. That's actually a really good point, Tony. I'm glad you corrected it, because I was just like, oh my God, they can't trade him. Oh, wait. Yeah, they would get some picks back. Yeah, you're right.
But hold on. Now, here's the thing, though, Tony.
If they trade Donovan Mitchell, it's not like they're going to trade him to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right? They're not trading him to a team that's going to tank. So if they don't have, if they're bad in a year where they don't have their own pick.
Listen, just trade them to my favorite team. And we'll find
I know exactly the angle you're making there, buddy.
They will find a way to screw it up. We will find a way to be a 35 win team with them on the roster.
Let's flip it to Rudy, right? What is a Rudy like? I mean, there's no chance. Well, can't say there's no chance. I don't expect him to trade Rudy Gobert.
Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I think the Jazz today currently are leaning towards bringing both back and retooling the roster and trying to retool the roster around them, those two. Can things change? Yes. I don't know if they change around Rudy Gobert. I do not expect anything to change around Donovan Mitchell. I don't think the Jazz have any interest whatsoever in trading Donovan.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And they shouldn't. But I don't think that they should trade Rudy Gobert either.
I don't think they should either. And because I think when you have two legitimate All-NBA type talents, whether they make All-NBA or not, I think when you have two legitimate All-NBA type talents on the same roster in Salt Lake City, Utah, that is hard to do. And they're in their primes. And they, like you said, their strengths and weaknesses line up with each other's. So I just think that they need to suck it up and keep both of those things and ride that train until the wheels fall off. You know what yes, I mean?
I agree. Because, Tony, the reality of the situation is you're not signing free agents there. Not you're not going to sign a star. And you might have two. Right? Like, I mean, you at least by today's standards, you have two. And now you need to build a good team around them.
Yep.
And I actually think this is a good team. It just, it has glaring weaknesses. And it's tough, man. You're competing with 30 other teams. Well, not the really bad ones, but you're competing with 20 other teams. You know, some of them in nice places like Miami and Los Angeles. You know, it's just like, it is the reality of the situation. Not that Salt Lake City isn't nice. But the reality of the situation is there is big time competition to make a good team. And look, man, having players the caliber of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert already on the roster, that's 40% of the job.
Right.
You can't give up on it because it didn't work three seasons. Do you know what I mean? Like they're not far off. They just have to, they've got to fix the margins.
You know, they've got to fix the margins, and one of the reasons why I say that the Jazz front office just has to have a great year is because I think the Western Conference is legitimately going to be insane next year.
I mean, it's already insane, man.
It's already insane. I think the Western Conference might be generational next year.
It might just be Luka's now. Have you thought about that, Tony? What if now this is the Luka era? And everybody's going to have to go through Luka.
Well, he's got to win this series for us to say that that's what the case
this
is.
This series? I don't know if he has to win he's this got, one. Or,
I think he has. Like, we can't say that what the Western Conference goes through a guy that has never won the well, Western Conference yet. He might win it. So, he might, but I'm just saying, like, he's... If he wins this series, then yeah, we can be like, yeah, you know what? Luka, the West is yours until further notice. But also, winning is way too fleeting in the NBA at this point. And you know, the Western Conference, and I mean, the league is way too wide open at this point. It's the most parity that we've seen in years. So, I mean, look, you know, just like Phoenix last year, They faced no Kawhi in the Western Conference Finals. They faced, you know, a 50% LeBron and no AD in the first round. And then, you know, they got a great matchup with Denver in the semifinals. You know, it could happen to Utah. Or it could happen to Golden State. Well, you know, it happened to Golden State this year. They got no Ja Morant in the Western Conference semifinals. Like, you just never know. So, you know, if you're the Jazz, you keep yourself in the hunt. And, you know, one day, you know, you don't wake up and say, oh, my God, you know, we got Luka and then we got Phoenix. And, you know, this is a really hard path. This is a really hard path, but you know, so I just think you keep yourself in the hunt. But yeah, the Western Conference next year just might be generational, because the Clippers are going to come back at full strength, and you know, we'll see if LeBron and AD can stay healthy, and you know, Minnesota's here, and New Orleans, the Pelicans are coming, and it's just going to be really, it's just going to be stacked. It's going to be a stacked West.
All right, Tony. So what are you working on right now as we're looking ahead for this team and the stuff that they need to do ahead of the draft when they don't really have any picks?
Yeah. The Jazz are going to start having, they're going to have draft workouts with no picks. You know, so, you know, we'll try to work on that and try to keep busy over the next 4 weeks until you know, they're like, you know, things start happening and teams start having to make decisions. And, you know, this is very much the calm before the storm. But, you know, I think a big domino is going to fall on Tuesday night. You know, once the once the draft order.
Yeah, the draft lottery tonight as we're recording on Tuesday. So, you know, if anything kind of develops over the next few weeks, we'll be popping in. We are kind of going into our off-season schedule at this point. And Tony, any sort of closing thoughts as we just look back on this season, aside from the fact that I was right the entire time?
Yeah, you were definitely right. I mean, listen, man, you deserve your victory lap. You were absolutely right. And because we argued on the pod over the Jazz and Dallas, and I was just like, no, Rudy Gobert is going to average 29 and 27 through the series. And that was not the case. So you were right. I was
well,
wrong.
Guys, you heard it here officially. I think that's a great place to close. For the illustrious Tony Jones, I am the humble Dave DeFore. This has been Game Notes on the Athletic Podcast Network.